You're listening to the Wharton Alumni Executive Education Podcast.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Wharton Alumni Executive Education Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gramatsky, and tonight I'm going to be talking to Manuel Gallegos, who is Managing Partner of MG Global Consulting Group. Thank you for being on today. So, Manuel, how are you doing today? And can you give me a little bit about a background of your story, please? That would be great.
For sure. Thanks, Alex. I'm very glad to be in this podcast today. I'm being Bachelor of Business Administration, have a Master in Finance. I did my GMP in Wharton. I was born in Argentina, in Rosario, where is the very close to the grain exports corridors here in Argentina. And then in 2011, I moved to New York, and I lived there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And recently got back to Argentina because of the reason that I finally got married. I'm very, very, very happy on that. And in the pandemic, I started my own business with my own consulting company, which is MG Global Consulting. And also left the corporate life after 20 years in Bunge Limited.
Wow, so you did your master's degree in finance and you did then the Wharton program after that. So good for you on that. And then before that, you were also living in New York and now back in Argentina. I'm assuming your wife is Argentinian?
Yes, my wife is from my home city, Rosario. So that was one of the reasons to get back to Argentina.
That makes a lot of sense. Good idea to go and listen to your wife or to where she wants to go on that side of things. And what was it like being in New York for 10 years for you and then now going back to Argentina? To me, that seems like a pretty big switch.
Yes, indeed. It was really a big switch. Imagine for all Argentinians, because of the situation of the country that we usually been like a roller coaster, had the opportunity to do corporate activity in New York also, and had the chance to be promoted and be there. It was really a change in my life. Imagine from my home city in Rosario and moving to Manhattan, living at one block from the United Nations, and start living the new life, let's say. It was also amazing because the corporate life there is like, you know, you breathe that every day in this type of companies. It was the headquarters of Bunge in which I work, and it was a big switch. I was like, I remember my life in 2003, like doing some, going up to the tanks, to the old tanks, and doing some measuring there with audit people. And then in a facility, and then being in the headquarters of Bunge in New York, sitting with the CEO, preparing for our earnings release. So you can imagine how that switch is been in my career, right?
Well, yeah, especially if you do a master's degree in finance, right? You kind of hope that you end up in New York, or kind of that's what my thoughts would be at least. And you would have had a tremendous experience being over there. And then now taking your expertise back to Argentina, how has that been for you to go from New York to now working in Argentina?
Well, it was at the beginning, it was a bit of uncertainty. I didn't know how this will be playing. Pandemic started and I was continuing my relation with Bunge and find out that when it was ending, I really didn't know what to do, to be honest. But there was something that triggers me that I was sure of myself, right? I was sure on my capabilities, on what I can deliver. And starting talking with friends and colleagues, and it started appearing this consulting thing, right? And this consulting leads me to continue working with Bunge as a consultant, right? Have that opportunity to continue having a relation with them, because after 20 years, it's like a wife, right? You've been for a long time with the company. You have a lot of colleagues and friends there, and in that very good relation, they continue give me opportunities. And that's why when I say, okay, this is something that I need to formalize, to structure, to think about seriously in my own company. And what I find out is like, you know, right in Argentina, things continue to be difficulty. And then my focus started, well, I need to be focusing my services broadly, right? In the US, in Europe, because first of all, my clients are broadly, right? And I'm not even in Argentina. And that's why I try to, my colleagues in Wharton is one example, having that type of connection, leverage me the opportunity to be in contact and provide services to them, right? That has been a bit of, for me, the change, right? I mean, I'm here, but the pandemic allowed me to work remotely in all these type of services. And also to let you know that I'm able for travel as well, right? It's not like I'm here stuck. I'm able to travel to visit my customers. That's a good thing, right? And having being close with my family as well. So it's a win-win at the end of the day.
That's a good point. So because business is essentially international these days, just because you're located in Argentina, you're essentially able to work remotely, but still conduct business with people in the United States and Europe and abroad, while just being domiciled, so to speak, in Argentina.
Correct. Yeah, I'm able to do that, to travel whenever the client needs to have the possibility to be me in their offices, no matter with the language. I can speak Portuguese, I can speak English, Italian, Spanish. So that's perfect for me. And because I wanted to keep all my relations, right? After 10 years in being in New York, you force a lot of relations, good relationships. I have I'm very proud of all the network that I built so far, also with my Wharton fellows. Yes, indeed, it's been a great journey, to be honest.
Well, and to be in Argentina right now, you know, I think could be somewhat lucrative and maybe hard, because I think Argentina is going through very high times of inflation. I don't want to misquote, but I've heard something like in the 90% range from some sources. And correct me if I'm wrong on that side of things. So what's that like living through that?
It's actually more than 100% right now.
I wasn't sure if I had my numbers correct or not, so I said 90%. But what is that like? I've never lived through that. And you know, you having an M&A background, a finance background, living in the middle of it, like, what is that like from a lived experience standpoint for you?
I think, as I mentioned before, right, people live here like in a roller coaster, right? You it's very seasonal, and it's also going by cycle. And every time you start suffering this, that, you know, when you talk with your parents and your mom or your dad, well, this happened before, they told you, right? This happened 10 years ago. And so this is going in circles in the same story, right? And this cycle, people now that I'm getting old as well, I'm start remembering like 10 years in the past, we suffer sort of the same situation. This inflation in Argentina is not new. It's been also forever. This is the untrust to the government, to their policies, that okay, provide people the thinking that they need to save in dollars and not in pesos, right? And this starting trigger all the inflation, plus corruption that we always have here. So it's like you always learn how to live in Argentina. Sometimes we are sort of case of study, because we sort of go out, right? We escape from these situations, but then after a while, we come back. We don't have a consistent policy with government, and every time that the new government comes, want to do the opposite, 100% opposite of what they was doing the other one, right? And that doesn't work. Right, those shifts doesn't work in the economy, and like they are like shocks, and so that's a bit of the. It always, I will say, living in Argentina always keep you living in alert. When I was living in the U.S., in North America, in New York, I starting to feeling comfortable, I'm trying to be feeling safe, I'm trying to feel in everything secure, nothing changed. It was always the same thing. Every time I took my train, it was at the time that it should be leaving from the Grand Central Station. And now you need to start like being thinking, okay, what happened if this does not happen, right? And be constantly doing a map route on what to do. So you are get well, very well prepared, to be honest, when then you go to a system that everything works, right? And when someone asks me, what is the difference in Argentina? Like, the system is broken. So when you go outside, when you go like a country in the US or other countries, you find out that the system more or less work, and then so things are clear, right? But we learned a lot to be in battles, you know, like because of these cycles and all this economy and all these issues, people already know what to start doing, right?
So you mentioned people essentially start saving in US dollars, I think is what you said, instead of in the Argentinian peso. And I know in the United States, you know, there were some banks that now had issues that went under, and, you know, the government stepped in those cases to secure people's deposits. What is that like in Argentina and, you know, people wanting to do business in Argentina, or even for yourself? You know, sure, you might save in US dollars, but if it's with an Argentinian bank, I'm not sure how safe that is. Or do people just end up having offshore accounts, or, you know, accounts in international countries? Is that kind of how it works for every Argentinian, or how does that play out?
Yeah, I mean, you have, of course, worldwide companies working in Argentina. They have traveled, those type of company, when they wanted to, let's say, have their dividends out of the country. There are some difficulties and restrictions on that. However, I will say that it's difficult, right? It's always this need on having offshore accounts or international accounts in order to safeguard your money, and or if not, you need to keep it under your bed, right? Because you cannot trust to the banks, unfortunately, so almost the local banks, right? And again, you suffer this type of cycle, right? That you have this type of investors that come in, and when they see that things are not safe, they just close the door and they leave. In the pandemic, when we were preparing a project for a company, a Japanese company in Argentina, we made all the memo, we prepared the mo, we prepared everything, the evaluation. And when we were almost, you know, for going in execution mode, the company left. I mean, they say we leave Argentina from one day to another. The headquarters in Japan says we end our relation with Argentina, and they leave the country. And that is something that is happening. And then again, things will change, and companies will come back at some point, right? When they feel more safer.
But in every crisis, I think there's also an opportunity. So, you know, given that you're on the M&A side, and maybe you're doing more international M&A, where would you say are there opportunities in Argentina right now if I want to, you know, put $1 million or $10 or $100 million into Argentina?
Well, I mean, there is one thing that always works in Argentina. It's within the agricultural, right, industry. You have World Trade companies that are still betting to this country, right? And they're still being here forever, more than, I would say, more than 100 years since like the Argentina was born, right? And this, because we are very rich in soil, we are very rich, whatever we want, we plant here, it grows. We are very lucky on the weather, on the thing. Of course, this year, it's a particular year because we will have a shortage on production for grains. It's a huge storage. It's a huge shortage, and then we will have troubles, right, on exports. So that's, I will say, that always agricultural has been something that is an industry that always has been successful, I also would say that today we are cheap also for tourism, and we have a beautiful country. So that's please, if you have some plans in your on your vacations, I know you are doing the East Coast now, but it's a great country. It's a great country on that sense, on the landscape, on the different, because you have mountains, you have beach, everything, right? And it's a long country. We usually have the four seasons, the four season weather, very very marked in the during the year, and that is another thing that always work, I will say.
Yeah, I think Argentina is like the eighth largest country in the world, so it should have a large landmass, and agriculture arguably is a commodity. And I think commodities cycles or commodities in inflationary periods tend to perform well or tend to adjust with inflation because they're inflation adjusted, so to speak. So it makes sense that agriculture would be on the side that has continued to survive in Argentina.
These companies like Bunge are being forever, right? I mean, we've been, they are being forever in the country because, yes, indeed, we are very rich on agriculture.
Yeah, and given the size of Argentina, it makes sense that exports would continue to go up, and then essentially you get, if you do a lot of exports, then you get paid in foreign currencies and then are able to save in foreign currencies, which makes sense that you would be able to survive on that side of things. So do you do a lot of advising in the agriculture space for M&A, or is a lot of your advising internationally outside of Argentina?
Yes, so actually it's more outside than in Argentina because my focus is outside. So our company, when I started building this company, I found it very interesting to talk about three B's. My first B is business development. So we can support any transaction on M&A, any capital investment through a due diligence, evaluation, and integration or negotiation. So we are in the process, in every stage of that process. The other thing is on the other second B is on business advisory. So our advisory, we help you to work together on the strategy. And when we have the strategy, we build the strategic plan. From that strategic plan, you can think on pitching a business plan for the company. And I will tell you, I've been surprised how many, because I come from corporate, how many companies need to start thinking on that business plan because it's starting giving an horizon on where to look at. And we've been very successful on that. And then the last B is on business operation. It's more on the project management execution. We also provide resources from here, from Argentina. We are very diligent on that because everything is managed by projects. Right, you need to implement the system, you need to run a business, you need to have a methodology, a planning, and an execution. And project management has been very, very, very successful for us. A lot of work is coming from that angle and from that service. So that's a bit of our work, always looking outside, but internally we have the chances, but we are just focusing in the US, in the Europe regions so far.
Yeah, thanks for expanding on that. And you have the, you know, educational experience from having your master's and from having gone to Wharton and then your education over there. But what are some of the experience that you've had throughout your career that has helped you get good at what you currently do?
Well, I will say everything, right? Being in a company like 20 years, having all the corporate exercise and being always very diligent and structured in the way to do things. Now that I usually, sometimes I work with startups or middle-sized company, that they are requiring that type of structure, right? They're requiring that type of formalization. They need to, you need to keep that momentum with them. So everything is like you can apply to what you learned in your through your career can be applicable for sure into these companies. I will also give, like, for example, in Wharton, what we did on the M&A, course, which I think we did it together, is amazing because it's a course that we really went through all the stages of the M&A. We spent a week in all the stages. And that's really something that we provide as a service. When I look that mapping on what we did in that week, we really went to each stage of the M&A, right? We started thinking about the idea. We make that idea into a strategy. From that strategy, you say we found opportunity into that M&A, starting finding the targets. We do the evaluation, have the due diligence, and then finally do the purchase, and then we have the integration, right? And so I would say everything that has happened in my career, and I started as a consultant like many, many years ago, is giving me now the chance after a long journey, 25 years, I will say, and everything can be applied and is useful in my daily work, to be honest.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember the Wharton M&A program actually, and just the due diligence checklist or binder that we got, and that was very extensive and impressive. And I think you were with Bungie before for 16 years, so you have definitely that corporate development background and been able to grow up in the hierarchy and see really how a major organization, I think they have 16,000 employees according to LinkedIn, so it's a very massive organization that you've had to work your way up through, so you've seen that side of things. Been involved in various M&A components. So it's quite incredible that now you're able to put all of that together on an international scale and see how it works on the corporate side, how acquisitions work, and then having actually worked through a lot of that. So that's really impressive.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. One thing is, what's one of the biggest obstacles that you've had to overcome in your career? And how did you do that? Is something that sticks out?
Well, I will say that my first obstacle was when I arrived to New York. Everything was new, so you have some time of adjustment in your life. Imagine that I was coming from Argentina. In Argentina, I have my life very, I would say, easy in a way that I have my family and everything, and I live by myself. And once I was established there, I find out that, okay, now I need to take care of all my things on my own in a new country with new rules, with new people that I didn't know, with a different language. And so you have your life, your personal life to accommodate. And at the same time, you started working. And so you started having responsibilities. And I remember one thing that I had with my old boss that we were preparing I was preparing my first earnings press release on agribusiness. I need to do that script for the CEO and the CFO. And the reality was I didn't have any too much induction to the position, too much content, because the person that was supposed to give me all that insight was left when I arrived. So I didn't have something, and I was getting into the deadline for the earnings press release, and you know, I talked desperately to my boss, saying, "Okay, I need some help. How can I do this? I mean, we are like 3-4 days." He told me, "I don't know. I'm in Brazil. You just need to make it happen." That was his answer, and I remember that time. It was very shocking for me, and I said, "Well, how can I sort this?" You know, and I remember I was living in a hotel at the moment because I didn't have any apartment. I was just staying 2 months in a hotel, and then I was looking for my apartment. And I said, okay, it was already 6 p.m. So I will get back to the hotel. I was sort of thinking on my own, thinking on my family, what to do. I said, okay, let's work out. I went to work out. I went to the gym. I had my shower, and I went back to the office. And that time, you know, that hour at the gym, thinking about that, not the shower, and give me the chance to thinking, okay, this is, I just need to do it. right? I just need to take an action and step by step, not trying to think on the final and get crazy, start taking sections from that script and tackle one by one. Instead of trying to think of doing all together, I was doing like a step process and spent the entire weekend, didn't sleep so much. And finally got my first script, my first earnings press release. And it was amazing because then when we do the rehearsal with the CEO and the CFO, they really go through your script and they are with you. Imagine I was new. This is the guy from Argentina, from the agribusiness world with the expertise coming here into our board meeting, preparing to talk to the market and had that chance to where they were reading what I put together, right? So I think that was the example that I remember on a big obstacle, because I was really frightened, threatened on what to do. I remember the words of my boss, you need to make it happen. But I think the learning for me was take some time, think about it, and then tackle this step by step.
That's a good point. Yeah, there would be a lot of pressure from the market looking at what you're writing, what you're saying, how it's going out there, and then dealing with the CEO and CFO directly. First time you're put into that position, but I guess a lot of the things we do for the first time are the first time. We have no experience with it. So that's incredible how you manage and handle that and are able to reflect on that situation as well and how you were going to overcome it. Now I have to ask, how did the market respond after the stock price go up or go down after your press release?
Well, I was lucky because at that time, the focus was more into the sugar business, not in the agribusiness. So my release went well and all the focus and probably the impact on the stock price was on sugar performance.
Okay, no, fair enough. I just figured I would ask. Very cool. And how has your life, going from New York to now Argentina turned out the same or different than what you would have thought 20 years ago? So if you can go 20 years back in time, where did you think you were going to be?
Well, there are two things, right? Now, as I turn back to Argentina, I turn back for a reason. I finally got married. So that was a great reason to come back. I think all my career in those 20 years, as you mentioned, I've been very professional driven, right? Thinking about work, career development, how to do it better at work. At the same time, I was like putting aside a bit of the personal things. And now after 20 years, I found the time that, okay, this is a decent time to settle, to find that person to continue your journey, not alone, right? And I'm very glad that I'm doing it, right? I'm very glad that I came back for that for that reason, and starting a new chapter now with my wife.
Good for you. So you focused on career professionals, putting yourself personally in, let's say, a good spot where you felt comfortable, and then you said, well, hey, once I have my stuff figured out, then I'm gonna go and find a wife and settle down and go into the next chapter.
Exactly. That's what I needed. It's like, every person has their own story, right? In my story that I see myself is I need to do all this homework first in which to feel comfortable, feel that I have my structure in place. And probably people do things in parallel. Of course, there are millions of examples that they do it in that way. I just need to have that things done first, and now feeling very comfortable on achieving the other one.
That's very interesting, because me and my wife talk about it, and we've been together for 10 years now, but we almost wish we were together longer because we were so curious about what we would have been like at a younger age and see each other go through that. And I really appreciate being able to kind of go through life with her and navigate the good and the bad with her, and you had to, like you said, go through a lot of those obstacles on your own. You're able to share those stories with your wife now, but I think it's a little bit different than and going through it, but everyone goes a different path and, you know, wants to be in a different spot before they commit to someone else. So that's really interesting to hear that perspective from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so now that you're, you know, running MG Global Consulting, what is something that you're focused on now currently and wanting to do next? What do you think the next 5-10 years has for you?
So yes, it's a great question, and I always start thinking on that. So I mean, what I'm currently working at is how to build the next step in the company, right? How to continue growing. I think I'm doing this is coming by mouth by mouth, right? And starting about our connections in Wharton, in LinkedIn. After many years of career, you start getting those recommendations, and so like services are coming, right? For me now is making a step forward and be more proactive to look after how I can I grow my clients, right? This is my major focus, because consulting is very challenging, as you might be aware, right? Consulting, you really, when I do consulting, it's just not I want to speak remotely like an hour to my client. I just wanted to focus on deliverables. I make sure that I deliver something to you. I make sure that once we end the service, you get a strat plan, you get a business plan, you get a resource that can do project management in your company. We actually implement something, right? That's for me the key thing, that we are not focusing on words and talking about theories here or how to do a better business. We really give you something, right? So, and I see a bit on that, into that point, that in the coming 5 years with AI running full speed right now, consulting will change, right? And I think we need to shift a bit. My company will need to shift in something more like a commodity specialized, instead of being like on our consulting service in under the 3Bs, right? Probably 3Bs will continue supporting, but I will see that things will need to be turned into more a commodity specialized, or a product that we can specialize and provide that service with the product, right? For sure with AI included, because it's happening now, right? Things are changing very fast, and you want it to survive in the future, you just need to start acting now. So that is something that I always, we take some time with the team, like I would say 2 times a week, we just have these meetings. We try with not to do it with phones, and thinking on that, how we can grow our company, what we see our company in the next 5 years. Because this is a common question. I always did that, this type of question to my clients. They are focusing on the day by day. How you look your company from now in 5 years? And I will be surprised. I do it for myself, that question every time. I will tell you, when I was in 2007, 2008, I have a leadership course that I was invited in Bangi, and they asked me, we do the exercise. We need to do our resume as today. So I build my name, I build my address in Argentina, I build where I'm working, this is my company, what you were studies, budget and business administration, master in finance. Say, okay, what will be now, this is your resume today, but what will be your resume in five years? And so I started thinking, and I say, okay, my address will be US. I will be married. I will continue be working in Bangi. I will do an executive program in a company in the US, in an institution in the US. I make all the checks after 5 years instead of getting married, which then I return. But the story is, you know, you always need to start thinking of what you will become after 5 years, right? And start planning accordingly. Yes, although things change so quickly, so fast, at least in my career, I've been doing that, I would say, forever. Always starting planning ahead and seeing how I see myself And sometimes you committed, you achieve those things. Sometimes not, but at least to see that horizon, right? See how you see after a time. That I think is very, very useful in your planning.
Those are very good insights, and I was actually taking some notes on some of the things you were saying as well, on that side of things. And I think about it from a little bit similar perspective as to like, something just resonated with what you said. It's kind of in my head, it's what book or podcast or program or course or connection do I have to make to be ready for what's coming, you know, in 5 years from now to get to where I want to be, and being more intentional about either what resources or people I need to have in my life or education I need to have in order to get there. So those are some very interesting thoughts that you just sparked in me as well.
Yep, great.
Well, I appreciate your time today. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or chat about here before we sign off?
No, the last thing I will say, Alex, thanks for this opportunity. I'm very glad. I think you are doing a great job having all of us, your Wharton fellows and colleagues, giving the chance to talk and share experiences, right? That's I think is something great. So thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I think this is a great way for people that, you know, want to connect me with other people. So hey, if you want to learn about my story, get to know me more. If you're interested in knowing about a person's character a little bit, this is a great way for people to just get to know each other and build a stronger community. So thank you for being on today.
Excellent. Thank you, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday.